It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we talk with a state lawmaker about a plan that would provide a financial incentive to some out-of-state students to stay in Wisconsin after they graduate. First, more than 4 million American kids were diagnosed with anxiety in 2016. Another nearly 2 million were diagnosed with depression. That's according to research from the Journal of Clinical Child and Adolescent Psychology, which also shows those numbers are steadily rising. Our next guest says that's a big problem and that as parents of those kids, we have the tools to fix it with more relaxed and less high-pressure parenting. Esther Wojcicki is an educator, journalist, and mother. Her latest book is How to Raise Successful People, Simple Lessons for Radical Results. Esther, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And you say you weren't always a Jedi master of a parent yourself. Can you talk about some of the anxiety you felt early on in your parenting career?
Well, I didn't have the world's best childhood myself, and I knew I didn't want to repeat it. And so I wanted to make sure that I could do something different for my children. And, you know, that alone is somewhat anxiety-producing. But what I did is make sure that I treated my children as somewhat, well, like little adults, let's put it that way. My number one goal was to teach them independence and to give them as many skills as they could possibly have to think early. So that was really important to me, and it was important, it turns out, in giving them a sense of confidence, which is what they have today. And I think that's what all parents want for their kids. They want their kids to feel happy and confident with what they are encountering in the world. And I did this by accident, by the way. You know, I wish I could say that I had pre-planned the whole thing, but I was just operating on my gut instincts. It's like, it has to be better than what I grew up with. And so I'm just going to do a childhood for them that I wish I would have had.
And you see another model of parenting, and you run into this a lot. You write as an educator, where parents are, for good motivations, they're worried about their kids' future. They want them to be successful. They want them to get to the good things in life. And they create a lot of high pressure and they do too much stuff for their kid. Talk about what's motivating us to move in that direction.
Well, I think we see a lot of risks and danger, and we don't see a clear path to where we want our kids to go. And so therefore, we tend to be helicopter parents. We tend to like overprotect and like, don't do this, we'll do this. And every day of the week is a different lesson because we want to make them really talented in all these different areas. And so what that does is it gives kids no free time and no agency. And then we do a lot of things for them, which is unfortunately the byproduct, but it's unintended, is that it disempowers them because they don't have choice. They don't tell you what they want to do. It's already pre-planned. And then also when we see kids doing something that we consider not okay or taking a path that we consider somewhat risky, we jump in and like, let me help you. And you know, kids learn by making mistakes, and the smaller the child, actually, the smaller the mistake, to be honest. And as they get older, the mistakes become a little bit more difficult, let's put it that way. But I think we need to give kids an opportunity to feel confident and make intelligent choices. And they only learn that by actually doing it and not by reading books about how to do it and not by listening to lectures about how to do it. They actually have to do it. So you can start early. I mean, like toddlers, they can do things like pick the clothes they want to wear that day or help you in the store, pick what kind of cereal they're going to have for breakfast tomorrow, or pick, have input into like which park do they want to go to today, as opposed to us making all those choices for them. Which what I'm suggesting is like little steps that are really easy to do that build a sense of confidence in your child. And I think we don't realize how important that is. And so we do it for them. We think we're doing them a favor, but we're not.
We're talking to Esther Wojcicki about her new book, How to Raise Successful People, Simple Lessons for Radical Results. Well, Esther, as a parent, I've always wished there was one simple trick as a parent. Well, you've got a trick that's actually a model. It's not one little step, but it's five big ones. It stands for trust, respect, independence, collaboration, and kindness. I want to talk about at least a couple of those today. Let's start with the T in trick, the trust. How do we build trust between ourselves and kids?
The first way that we do that is by giving them little opportunities to do things and trusting them to do it. They don't do it right, just say, oh, not a problem, just let's do it again. And so you're building trust, and in building this trust and respect, what happens is the kid wants to please you. All children really want to please their parents, in spite of what you might think. And as they build a sense of trust in themselves and respect, they don't want to lose that. They want you to see them as trustworthy. They want you to see them as good. They want you to be proud of them. And so these little things build up, and trust is really the key. And trusting yourself. When kids feel that the parents trust them, they tend to trust themselves. And so then they consistently pursue something. They develop what everybody wants them to, which is called grit. You know, they're like, oh, yes, I can do this. You know, my mom says, or I know, she doesn't have to say it, she feels it, that, you know, I'm really good at, I don't know, whatever it could be, building tree houses or building forts or playing soccer or whatever. Just those little things that we think are insignificant, they actually matter to little kids. And like I say, just asking them to help you do the shopping, I'll tell you, all little kids will be thrilled because no one asks them, right? We just run in the store, buy all the stuff, throw it in the shopping cart, and then tell the kids to, okay, time to check out. Come on over here, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's
yeah, we've been there.
I think that's what we're doing. So it's collaborative parenting is what I'm trying to talk about. Collaborate with your kids a little bit. You know, you don't have to do it 100% of the time. How about just small percentage of time? How about 20% of the time? Give them the opportunity to have some input. Or like, what do you want to do this weekend? Some ideas about, we always pick, right? What do you want to do? So my children always wanted to go to parks. And I can just tell you, I know every single park in San Francisco. I never would have done that myself.
Now, what about those moments when there's a violation of trust? The kid does something bad. You got to deal with it. How do you do that in a way that doesn't break down what you've spent so many years to build?
There are always going to be violations of trust. I mean, that's just life, unfortunately. And so I think the number one way to deal with that is discussion. And one of the ways that I do it in class, for example, because I have a lot of students, is that if there is a violation of trust, if they do something that is problematic, then I sit down, talk to them about it, and then I have them write about it. And I also had my children do it as well. They would write a little essay about what they had done, why they did it, and what they think the repercussions are, why it was perhaps not a good idea. And I want it to be reflective, because when they reflect, they think about it and perhaps they won't do it again. And I mean, kids don't do things really to be mean. They do things because they think it's best for them. And they have to realize that sometimes when you're doing things that you think are best for you, it might hurt other kids. And so, you know, you have to think about the repercussions. And by writing about it, they reflect. They think about it. And my daughters all, it's pretty funny, because when I was writing this book, my daughters, I asked them for some anecdotes, and they all whipped out their journals. And because I guess I spent a lot of time having them write journals. And it turns out that is a really great suggestion. I realized later on that a lot of therapists think about that as a way for kids and adults, actually, to reflect on their behavior.
We're talking to Esther Wojcicki. She's a teacher, a journalist, and a mom, and her new book is How to Raise Successful People, Simple Lessons for Radical Results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Think about independence for kids. As a parent or as a kid, did you see a lot of those opportunities for independence for a kid to learn to make mistakes? If you're a teacher, do you see kids coming in being afraid of making mistakes, maybe being over-managed, over-guided by parents? What do you think of what our guest was just saying about building trust between parents and kids? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation with Esther Wojcicki about how to raise self-motivated and successful kids. Her new book is called How to Raise Successful People, Simple Lessons for Radical Results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. As a parent yourself, did you try to build some independence for your kids? Give them opportunities to do stuff, learn from their mistakes. Do you see too much helicopter parenting out there? Parents stepping in and fixing things when little things go wrong for their kids. What do you think about the ideas our guest is putting out there? Do you have questions for her? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stepping back a little bit, Esther, we mentioned anxiety at the outset there. And it seems like a lot of what you look at is a lot of parenting is kind of fear and anxiety based. Is this the moment that I'm going to screw things up for my kid if we don't do this thing? Are they going to get into the college we want? And then that leads to a lot of anxiety and fear for kids. You run into students, you write, that are just scared of making mistakes. Talk about this sort of fear-based approach to parenting.
Well, there's a lot of fear in parenting these days. And then even if you don't talk to your child about how fearful you are, they sense it. And there's a lot of anxiety. And I know just before this program started, there were statistics about depression and anxiety, and it's rising in kids. And so I think we need to relax and realize that every child is going to succeed no matter how much we worry about them. As a matter of fact, that worry is making us miserable and making our children miserable. And so I see this in the classroom, and a lot of teachers do. Like, for example, you know, in an English class, one of the problems that we have is that the kids turn out, they don't write the papers. We have a lot of parents that write the papers for the kids. And so how does that make the child feel? You know, they feel disempowered that, oh my God, I cannot write a paper by myself because, you know, I'm going to get a bad grade, so I need mom and dad to help me all the time. I mean, they don't say that, but that's the message. That's the hidden message that they're getting. So as a teacher, one of the things that I've done with that is I, instead of giving a grade on the first draft, I let them revise and revise, iterate over and over again until they get a good grade or the grade they want. So that takes a lot of the pressure off. And I think that can happen in all different subject areas to give kids an opportunity to do more of that revision. It's called mastery learning. And then the parents don't feel as responsible or obligated to step in and make sure they're getting, quote, the good grade that they're supposed to get in order to get into whatever college they're hoping for. So I think there's a lot of things in the school system that could change to make it less stressful for the kids and less stressful for the parents. And then I think the other thing parents need to do is to remember that their gut reaction is really the way that they should be guiding their kids. In other words, their gut reaction about what's going to make their child the happiest. And that doesn't mean looking to the left and to the right and saying, oh, well, Johnny on the right and Jeannie on the left are doing this. And not only that, they have this kind of score, or, you know, this one's potty trained and this one knows their ABCs and my kid still doesn't know anything. So they all develop at different rates, but I promise you, I've never been at a cocktail party where anybody's ever asked how old you were when you were potty trained.
Yeah, it'd be a weird one to come up. Now, Esther, some people are going to hear this and say, wait, this sounds like we're just being soft and lax on our kids. This is kind of an undisciplined approach. I'm guessing you've run into some version of that response. So what do you say to that concern?
I'm saying that we should still have standards. We're not giving up on the standards. I'm saying that we want to do this at least 20% of the time. Okay, so 80% of the time, if you really want to do, you know, your traditional parenting where you're directing everything, okay, continue with that if that is the way that you think it's going to be best. But you have to give your kids some opportunity for them to believe in themselves. And that's why I'm not being soft. I mean, I wasn't soft on my daughters, but I gave them a lot of choice. And by giving them a lot of choice and independence, they built a sense of independence in their own ability. They believed in themselves. And so if you just look at them today, I mean, Susan, as the CEO of YouTube, she's leading down a path. I mean, it's tough, you know, to be the CEO of a major company like that that's basically trying to democratize video for the world. And she has to believe in herself, and she's super ethical. You know, she's trying really hard to manage everybody's requests. But she couldn't do that if she was doubting herself all the time. And that's one of the things you want to do. You want to build into your children a sense of responsibility and a sense of belief in yourself and let them go. That's what, I mean, just look at all the amazing new companies that we have these days that are trying to help us lead a better life.
I want to bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rena is with us in Milwaukee. Rena, hi.
Hi. I share the same kind of upbringing that she did. It wasn't anything I wanted to repeat with my children, but I wasn't a helicopter parent kind of a rebound. I didn't get involved with tattletaling unless I saw blood, a bump, or a bruise. I called it my 3B rule.
That's actually a really great rule. You know, if they cannot do things that harm, hurt in any way somebody else. But in addition to that, I would add to your 3B rule, bullying. Mm-hmm. So make it 4Bs, because no bullying is allowed either. And you don't want to be the kind of person that makes somebody else's life difficult.
Rena, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Esther Wojcicki. Her new book is How to Raise Successful People, Simple Lessons for Radical Results. Along those lines, Esther, let's get to the K in your trick model, kindness. How can parents both teach and, I guess, more importantly, model kindness for their kids?
Well, I think you just hit on it by saying that very thing. That's how kids become kind, because they copy the model. So if you are kind, they will copy your kindness. And so if you see them being, you know, difficult or not kind, then you have to ask yourself, you know, what kind of a model have I set? And, there's a lot of different things that you can do to illustrate kindness. For example, I mean, at Thanksgiving time, we go to homeless rest shelters and, you know, hand out food. Some of my grandchildren have done that. And, I mean, just being kind on a daily basis means saying hello to people that, you know, you might not otherwise say hello to, people that work in your building or people at the school that, you know, are doing all kinds of important services to you. Just being friendly is an important thing for people. Saying hello to the cashier, you know, who checks you out at the grocery store. Those are all things that model a sense of community and kindness, and I think we can all do them, and it doesn't cost anything. It's super easy.
A question I have, we heard from Rena and from you, Esther, that you weren't 100% on board with the way your parents parented, and it can be really hard, I know, for people. Your parents are your model for your own parenting a lot of times. How can we make ourselves examine how we were brought up and then maybe learn from what didn't go so well?
Well, I had a tragedy in my childhood, which is what forced me into another entirely different model. And that was, I had another brother. There were three children, and my youngest brother was playing on the kitchen floor with a bottle of aspirin, and that was prior to the days when they had child safety caps on bottles of aspirin. And so he ate a lot of aspirin. And then my mother, being an immigrant, she didn't didn't trust herself. She didn't know what to do. And so she called the doctor, and the doctor clearly didn't listen because he told her to put him to bed and see how he was in a couple of hours. And if he would have thought and he would have listened, I'm sure he never would have said that. And my mother, being an immigrant, she did not trust herself. So she followed the instructions, and she did that, what he told her to. Of course, in 2 hours, he was violently ill. We went to a community hospital, had his stomach pumped, and then he was violently still ill. So we went around from hospital to hospital, but he wasn't accepted until the fourth hospital because we didn't have proof of payment. So it was a tragedy, and he died. And so what that showed me, actually, is trust yourself. If she would have trusted herself, and it also made me very skeptical of anybody that had a long title that gave me information that didn't make sense. And so that's what I wanted to make sure that my daughters, I said, they need to be able to think. The main thing is thinking and be able to, because I can't predict what's coming on in life, but what I can do is give them the tools to think and to trust their own gut instincts. And so that was my mantra when they were little. And that's why I changed the parenting that my parents had for me, because I was like, I do not want to repeat this. For me, it was a matter of life or death, right? Because if I didn't think carefully, something like that could happen again.
In our last minute or so, Esther, what are you hoping that parents or maybe future parents take home from your book?
Well, I would say the main thing, I would like to have them relax and give their child more trust, respect, independence, and stop doing things like this tragic college scandal where the real victims are the kids whose parents didn't trust them and believe in them and decided to hire somebody to cheat for them. A lot of these kids didn't even know this was happening. So I would like to say, your kid is going to be just fine. I've seen so many kids who at the age of 15 or 16, the parents are pulling their hair out. And at the age of 19 or 20, they're like, oh my God, whose kid is that? He's so great or she's so great. So they all develop at different rates. We just need to give them an opportunity and the support while they're developing.
Esther, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to be there. I love NPR, by the way.
That's great. That's Esther Wojcicki, educator and author of the new book, How to Raise Successful People, Simple Lessons for Radical Results. She was with us today to talk about why she thinks we need to trust our kids and respect their independence more, and that can make for more successful adults down the road.